With us on the line, Ahmed has been very busy throughout the day and I suspect very, very tired at this stage. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and thank you for making the time to speak to us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You were obviously on the cameras earlier this morning with the president as this was announced. But let's take a step back and, you know, recount the entire journey. Were you amongst those who physically took the journey to Wuhan, to China, to evacuate these South African citizens?
I was part of the preparation team. I'm currently working for the National Department of Health as head of disaster medicine currently.
Okay.
And we were, obviously, when COVID-19 broke out in Wuhan in December, we already started looking at, monitoring it and doing disaster medicine evaluations in our provinces and things. Because prior to that, we were looking at the Ebola, which was in DRC. So we are prepping, we've got soldiers there. So we are prepping, and then COVID-19 broke out, So with that, a lot of planning from visiting the quarantine sites after the president made the decision that we will be repatriating, to planning the team, to planning the air crew and the planes. Right throughout the process, working with all the different departments, right up to Wuhan, picking our citizens up, coming back and being into quarantine as well. So it's been a long journey, very interesting and truly amazing in so many ways, I heard you earlier say there were 21 days, but there were actually 51 days in lockdown in China.
Okay.
Then they came into the 14 days. So they've been really almost 2 months lockdown in China before we repatriated them.
And talk to us about that journey itself. Again, it's not one for the faint-hearted in the sense that, everybody's trying to run away. Everybody has heard, horror stories about the disease. And here you've, physically make the journey right into the disaster zone. What were the sort of precautions? Just some finer details of how that journey went.
A lot of preparation went into it in terms of a lot of other countries repatriated their citizens from Wuhan. So a lot of call teleconference between those countries and us as well. A lot of information from our Turco officials as well. We looked at the planes they've done, what lessons they learned. I spoke to the Canadian, South Koreans, and all the other countries that did it, just to plan better and see what were the challenges. Because you had a city like Wuhan City that's got 11 million people. We had citizens in almost 36 universities. There's no public transport. There's a lockdown. How do you get the citizens right to a central point? How do you communicate with them? Because Facebook, WhatsApp doesn't work there. They use WeChat. Are they there on holiday? Are they there on students? So a lot of planning went into that, as well as communicating with the Chinese authorities. Will they allow us to send an advanced team? Do we go in a bit earlier? This and that, Wuhan being the epicenter at that time, And, communicating with the infection prevention control measures that we needed to put in place. Also, everyone who came from our medical crew, though we involved in government, were also volunteers. So they volunteered their services. They knew what they're going into. But we looked at it and said, let's go in. The Chinese measures they implemented were quite strict with the lockdown, because you can see it worked. It brought down the infection rate to almost zero. And they did test our citizens prior to that, so they were negative. And it proved to be true when we came into the range. We did the first swabbing. They were all negative, including all of us, So a lot of planning went into that, as well as the type of plane we're going to be used. For example, in the plane as well, we segregated certain areas, created zones where we'll place everyone. So there's that social distancing, which bathroom could be used, where do the citizens sit and things, how do they disembark, how do we feed them, and how do we monitor them. So a lot of planning went in, and alhamdulillah, with Allah's blessing and mercy, we managed to, everything went as planned, alhamdulillah, we managed to bring them back safely and spending time with them, hearing their stories. It's unique. Each and everyone's got a story to tell, and alhamdulillah, very grateful and can't wait to be reunited with their families. But you know, a lot of preparation had to be done because a lot of anxiety they're seeing in the news. Because imagine, from 51 days in a lockdown to a quarantine and going into another lockdown. And this is another, it's totally different from what they were used to in China. And it's, you know, the lockdown being the first in South Africa.
During this entire period, yourself and all these individuals especially, does it mean, you know, totally putting their life on hold? Whatever plans they had, whatever study, whatever work, you know, what, was that just a total shutdown, or was there, as time progressed, some means for them to discover normalcy, to be able to, you know, complete some tasks that they perhaps would have wanted to achieve during this period?
We had a lot of students that were attending have done online classes. They been working with the universities with online studying as well. A lot of the teachers have also been teaching online, and a lot of the business people that went there for that few weeks or so have basically stopped when they came back. But a bulk of our SA nationals that came back are all continuing, you know, the online studies. So they've been continuing that because that's what the Chinese have been offering, you know. And they have indicated to us once things settle down, inshallah, then they will definitely be going back to China to complete their studies.
How was this operation different for you? I mean, you've been into war situations, you've been into situations of natural disasters. What was the level of anxiety? Was the level of fear or uncertainty for you any less, any more different or less different compared to those?
You know, going into natural disasters, I mean, every mission or every disaster zone, if I can call it, comes with its challenges and lessons that we learn and obstacles that we overcome. This one here was now a global pandemic, you know. It was something very different. And then the coronavirus, man, you know, it's something you can't see. So, you know, it's different when you're going into a disaster zone like an earthquake. You can see the damage. Or if you're going into a building, you can see the structures not right. Or if you're rescuing someone, you can see. But here you're going and you don't know what's going to happen. Because if you're not taking your proper precautions and the aerosol comes into you, you pick up the disease. So, or the virus in that case. So a lot of preparations in terms of cleanliness, hygiene, protecting yourself was something we looked at. And a lot of, because it was a virus the world hasn't seen before, you know, every day new information was coming. For example, like a thing with centralized air cons came up. Do you use centralized air cons or not? Does the virus travel to other rooms and things, you know? It came back to the plane. Do we use that centralized air system that they have in a plane? Will that spread the disease if it comes? But then we started finding out it's got those filters in. But specific things like that, you know, we needed to look, which you don't normally look into other missions. And it was just, I mean, with the numbers and what was happening during that time, a lot of planning had to go into this thing, you know, to try and see it's a different type of virus we're dealing with, you know.
And once you come down to the ranch in Limpopo, now, where exactly did the plane land in South Africa? How did you reach the ranch? And give us a feeling of what actually occurred in those days of quarantine, 14 days of quarantine at this resort. You know, were people, again, just confined to their rooms, or were there means for people to at least de-stress themselves in certain ways and get back to some sense of normality there?
Sorry, we made it as comfortable as possible for our citizens in terms of I was part of the team that looked at almost 84 sites throughout the country for a quarantine zone, you know. And there were certain things we needed to look into that is bringing these citizens from a lockdown of 51 days and trying to bring them to an environment where they'll have Wi-Fi, access to speak to their families. It's comfortable, but also for them to de-stress and to meet with a psychologist, to meet with our social workers, so it can prepare them as well to meet their families, you know, because all of them really went through their own, I wouldn't say trauma, some trauma, but to their own pathways and had different difficulties. You must know a lot of the students are also come from a lot of rural areas within South Africa, you know. So also challenges were that as well, man. You know, coming back home, you know, they've been getting stipends. Will they lose their stipends? So a lot of those stress was there. What we done at the ranch is we then created a zone where our psychologists, social workers worked with them. There was a system we put in place whereby we had a level one hospital facility. We'd monitor them every day. We done our swabs when we entered. And what we done is we created that where we had different groups in different areas. So, for example, we had five restaurants, and certain groups would eat in this restaurant, like the blue group or the orange group or yellow group in that. And it'd be that social distancing. Because they were in China and came back from a lockdown, they were quite disciplined, if I put it in that way, with the social distancing, the PPE, protective gear, disinfecting their hands. And they had access to sit in the gardens or walk around or even go for a run, but obviously maintaining that social distancing and the highest standard of hygiene and stuff just to prevent the virus from spreading.
Now, with all of this, you know, sometimes people, unfortunately, because of you know, all that they've heard about the disease, would, you know, associate a stigma very, very incorrectly and unfortunately with people, even whether they're affected or not is immaterial. You know, when it comes to the hotel, when it comes to the personnel, you know, was that overcome? Was there a process of education? Because, I mean, even though this might sound far-fetched, I mean, I somehow from the outside feel that, you know, people might now for a while, you know, associate that ranch with COVID-19 as incorrect as it may be, and the fact that nobody actually was a bearer of that sickness. How do you, you know, in the long term be able to remedy that?
So what was interesting was, but I mean, from the beginning, from our interactions before the plane left, there was a lot of stigmatization for especially the citizens in South Africa. You know, why are they going to come? We're bringing COVID-19 here. Why don't they just stay in China? It's, you know, a disease that's from there and things. But I asked the negative people, what if this is your son or your daughter or your mother, your father? Would you, they're 51 days in lockdown. Would you want to leave them there? And this virus is spreading. It's not staying there, you know. So that stigmatization, I spoke to a lot of them, and they said it hurt them. That, you know, a lot of communities or a lot of people were saying, why do you want to bring the Wuhan people here, you know? They are going to bring the virus. But I think through education, it's important for them to understand what the virus is. And as time went on, you could see people started to understand what's happening here, and it just can't be spread in certain ways, or it can be spread in this way or that way. And when they came here at the ranch as well, a lot of stigmatization was done here. Why are we using the ranch? No one's going to come. There's reputational damage and this and that. But through education and understanding of this virus, what can kill it, and preventative measures of it, it's simple preventative measures. I mean, we as Muslims know before we eat, you need to wash hands. After you eat, you wash hands. You sanitize. I mean, we make a wuzu, all of that, you know. So a lot of those practices are things that will keep this virus away. But it's something that you need to practice as well. And that slowly, slowly removed the stigmatizing. When they came here, COVID-19, we already had cases. And it showed that, you know, the stigma attached to this, but everyone was negative. They stayed in quarantine. When we done the swabbing on Friday, everyone was negative again. But during the time here, a lot of the students that were here, or the teachers, have started advocating to their communities that, you know, don't stigmatize this and that. And a beautiful picture is when they landed in Polokwane, when we were doing the debrief counseling sessions with them. They said they were amazed at the people waving at them and saying welcome, and they really felt home. And don't take credit away from the staff of the ranch. We had over 117 staff that volunteered to be here, you know, and to expose themselves, if I put it that way, you know. And they were also tested, and they were all negative. So communication is the key. We're going through this lockdown. We're looking all around the world. It's not unique to South Africa. And we have to listen to what's being implemented by all the different departments, because that's the way it will assist in trying to get to contain this disease and bring the numbers down.
It's a very beautiful story, and a story that inspires so much hope in South Africans, that patience, that perseverance. You could imagine if you have to tally up all those days of quarantine, both in China and South Africa, and still continuing. It's a very, very big sacrifice to have been made, but they've overcome all of that. And it's a message to ordinary South Africans who have far less to lose and are simply required in most cases just to stay at home, to abide to that simple instruction. Ahmed, just like you, pay tribute to all the members who came back from China, all the support staff. We also pay tribute to you. May Allah Ta'ala reward you for this step and the sacrifices that you've made on behalf of the nation. And may you continue to inspire. Jazakallah khair.